ask most doctors, can arthritis be prevented or reversed? Most will say no, or say that it's genetic and therefore unstoppable. The better informed will say lose 10 pounds. But that's about as far as it goes, and they tell you that when the pain starts, take ibuprofen or naproxen, submit to steroid or hyaluronic acid injections, then undergo joint replacement surgery. Prevent the disease in the first place? No way. But there are indeed strategies that are natural, available, and effective that can prevent or reverse arthritis, provided you have not progressed to the most advanced bone-on-bone stage, in which all the cartilage has been eroded and gone. When I say arthritis, I'm referring to the most common and prevalent form, osteoarthritis. This discussion does not therefore include forms of arthritis such as rheumatoid arthritis or psoriatic arthritis. Those less common forms are indeed important, but require a separate and distinct conversation and are, by the way, also reversible. Let's now, however, focus on this most common form, osteoarthritis. For years, osteoarthritis, especially of the knees and hips, was viewed as nothing more than a result of wear and tear, the end result of years of use. But that is not true. There are numerous metabolic and physiologic phenomena that may be as important, likely more important, than simple wear and tear. So let's explore these questions to show you that, yes, osteoarthritis can be prevented and can be reversed. Later in the podcast, let's talk about Defiant Health sponsor, Paleo Valley, their fermented grass-fed beef sticks, bone broth protein rich in collagen, organic super greens, and low-carb superfood bars are wonderful additions to your healthy lifestyle. They are also expanding their Wild Pastures service that delivers 100% grass-fed and finished pastured meats from a regenerative farm right to your door. And look for their interesting new products such as chocolate-flavored grass-fed bone broth protein, grass-fed organ complex in capsule form, and essential electrolytes to add to your intake of electrolytes such as magnesium. I'd like to also introduce Defiant Health's newest sponsor, Cutting Edge Cultures, a source for excellent starter cultures to create your own fermented foods. For those of you who want to be more confident in making your own fermented vegetables, yogurts, and kefirs, Cutting Edge Cultures provides convenient starter cultures that begin with specific bacterial microbes while also making the process faster, meaning you will create healthy fermented foods typically within 48 hours. I'll tell you more about their terrific products later in the podcast. So as I mentioned in the opening comments, for many years it was believed that arthritis, especially for weight-bearing joints like knees and hips, was due simply to wear and tear, that is, repetitive use and just grinding down the cartilage and causing bony spurs, then inflammation set in and caused pain. Well, that interpretation proved to be very overly simplistic. It also didn't explain why you'd have arthritis in such joints as the thumb joint at the base of the thumb or in the ends of the fingers, also places where arthritis can occur, and they're of course not weight-bearing joints. So what other factors could be at work to cause arthritis? Well, there's actually a list of factors that can lead to degradation of joints and arthritis, and we'll review each and every one of those items on the list. But first, what do conventional doctors prescribe? Let's say you have a bad hip. That's giving you a lot of trouble, it's keeping you awake at night, it's impairing your ability to walk or climb stairs. So what does the doctor tell you to do? Well, the first line, of course, treatment, is anti-inflammatory drugs, specifically the non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs like ibuprofen, naproxen, diclofenac. Now, these are very toxic, as you may have gathered, much more toxic than they tell you. I lost count of how many times I have watched people throw up red blood or have kidney failure and go on dialysis from these drugs. These are very toxic drugs, yet they're widely dispensed, widely advised. Or maybe they prescribe an opiate. Well, you know, opioids are addicting and lead to all kinds of really serious trouble, so that's not a good solution either. When those treatments fail, they resort to injectable drugs, such as injectable steroids, into the joint itself. Well, that does help relieve pain, but it also accelerates the deterioration of the cartilage in that joint. And it often makes you type 2 diabetic for a few weeks and all the problems that can bring. They then inject hyaluronic acid with a very high molecular weight to inhibit absorption. That only lasts for a few months, though, and they're reluctant often to do it more than once. There is a risk of infection, introducing bacteria with each injection. Then, of course, the ultimate solution, which is joint replacement. Sadly, many of my colleagues regard that as a successful outcome. I would argue it's a failure. It's an absolute failure to have prevented the arthritis, the deterioration of the joint in the first place. So what is not available in modern healthcare is what they call a disease-modifying treatment. That is something that actually slows or reverses the arthritis, rebuilds the cartilage, and restores the lubricating synovial fluid. There is no treatment like that. There have been efforts to develop platelet-rich plasma and stem cells, but that they have not yet been proven to be effective. So despite all this stumbling about in conventional healthcare circles, there are effective ways to prevent arthritis, to reverse at least the earlier phases of arthritis. As I mentioned earlier, if you have bone on bone, that is, there's no cartilage left between the bones, that likely will not respond to these sorts of efforts. So you want to do this early in life. I think about my two children, for instance. I have a 32-year-old son and a 30-year-old daughter, and their mom and aunt, who are slender tennis-playing ladies, developed hip arthritis in their 40s and had to undergo hip replacement in their 40s and early 50s. These are not obese ladies. These are slender, active ladies, yet they developed hip arthritis, both sides. So I think, what could my two kids do as adults to not have to undergo hip replacement at age 48 or something like that? So the things I'm going to tell you are the same things I tell my own kids to prevent arthritis or to reverse early arthritis. To help you understand these things, it helps to understand that cartilage is mostly collagen. It's 70% collagen. It's got some other things in it like cartilage cells, chondrocytes, and some other forms of fiber, but it's mostly collagen. And the synovial fluid, that's the lubricating gel-like fluid that surrounds your joint that provides a lubricant. Well, synovial fluid is mostly hyaluronic acid and water. Unfortunately, for the last 50 years, we've been inundated with this message to cut fat, cut dietary fat, cut saturated fat, and do such things as eat more healthy whole grains. It's been compounded by the processed food industry who market chips and cookies and other junk foods to us. But the low-fat message in particular caused almost all Americans to abandon the consumption of organ meats and do silly things like get boneless, skinless chicken breast or not save the carcass and boil it for broths and stews. These are how people in the past got their collagen and hyaluronic acid. So if you were to eat brain, as your great-grandmother did, or the skin of animals, they are both rich in hyaluronic acid. If you were to make bake a whole chicken, and then eat the meat, eat the liver, whatever or other organs you can get, then save the carcass and make broths or stews out of it. Not bone broth. Don't make the mistake of making bone broth, which is a minimal source of any kind of nutrient, a little bit of calcium, a little bit of magnesium, and lots of lead. So let's not do bone broth. You can include some bones in your carcass broth, but you want to make sure those bones have marrow in them, bone marrow, because that's the source of nutrients in the bone, not the bone itself. So if all you have is bones in your bone broth, you're not getting much of anything except lead. But boil that carcass that has some remnants of ligaments and tendons and other connective tissue, throw in some of the meat, throw in, of course, save the skin if you hadn't already eaten it, and whatever organs you have. Now you have a source of collagen and hyaluronic acid. But modern people don't like these ideas, so they're not getting collagen from their food. They're not getting hyaluronic acid from their food. One of the biggest factors that leads to arthritis is abdominal visceral fat. That's the fat that encircles your intestinal tract, your liver, your spleen, your pancreas, fat within the abdominal cavity. Not the fat just under the skin, whether that skin is around the abdomen or buttocks or thighs or calves or neck. That so-called subcutaneous fat does not have implications for joint arthritis beyond weight bearing, because they do provide some excess weight, and that is a stress to your joints. But it's the abdominal visceral fat in the abdominal cavity that has a whole range of effects that leads to arthritis. People with lots of abdominal visceral fat tend to be insulin resistant. Insulin resistance means that your body's organs, muscle, brain, liver, and others, don't properly respond to insulin. So the pancreas compensates by producing huge amounts of insulin, tenfold, 50-fold, 100-fold more insulin. And that, by the way, causes more growth or expansion of abdominal visceral fat. It's a vicious cycle. So the process gets worse and worse as you consume foods that raise blood glucose, then blood insulin, and that cycle being repeated over and over again leads to resistance to insulin, insulin resistance. So people with abdominal visceral fat and insulin resistance tend to have higher blood sugars, higher blood glucose. And blood glucose causes glycation of collagen, that is, glucose modification of the collagen in your cartilage. Collagen is uniquely susceptible to glycation, and it becomes very brittle and disorganized. Collagen is a complex chain. It becomes disorganized and fragmented and brittle when it's repeatedly glycated. And because the cartilage in your knees or hips becomes more brittle, it erodes and fragments, and that's what leads to arthritis. People with excess abdominal visceral fat also have high levels of the hormone leptin. So leptin is meant to suppress appetite, but these people are not only insulin resistant, but leptin resistant. It means that there are higher levels of the leptin hormone in the blood that then enters the joint space. And leptin in joints is extremely inflammatory and accelerates the deterioration, fragmentation of your cartilage. Excess abdominal visceral fat is also a very potent source of inflammation, of inflammatory mediators. These are compounds such as interleukin-1 beta, interleukin-6, tumor necrosis factor alpha, TNF-alpha. So the visceral fat produces these inflammatory mediators that enter the bloodstream and then enter the joint, where it adds to the inflammatory effects, destructive effects on joint cartilage. In addition to abdominal visceral fat, there are also changes in the gastrointestinal microbiome, that is, the microbes that dwell in your gastrointestinal tract. Two basic and important phenomena have developed in the gastrointestinal microbiome. One, we've lost numerous beneficial species. Now, some of these species provided protection against joint arthritis. So we're going to talk about how the loss specifically of the microbe Lactobacillus reuteri and the boost in oxytocin, the hormone oxytocin that you get from it, was protective, and it stimulated cartilage growth. But we've lost Lactobacillus reuteri. Almost all modern humans lack this microbe now. There's some other microbes, perhaps not quite as important, such as Bacillus coagulans, that can reduce joint inflammation. So restoration of these important species, but especially Lactobacillus reuteri, can help rebuild cartilage, can help prevent deterioration of cartilage. Now, there's a second problem in the microbiome, and that is the loss of all those beneficial species allowed fecal microbes. These are species like E. coli and Salmonella and Campylobacter, which may sound familiar to you because they also cause food poisoning. So fecal microbes have been allowed to proliferate, and in many people, in my estimation, over half of the country, 160 million people, have allowed fecal microbes to proliferate, then ascend up into the small intestine, the 24 feet of small intestine. Now, when these fecal microbes inhabit the stomach, duodenum, jejunum, and ileum, they live for only a few hours at a time, trillions of microbes turning over rapidly, and when they die, they shed their breakdown product, but specifically a component of their cell walls called endotoxin. And the small intestine is poorly equipped to deal with fecal microbes, and it's much more permeable than the colon. And this endotoxin enters the bloodstream. That's called endotoxemia. One of the effects of endotoxemia is it worsens insulin resistance, which worsens joint pain and arthritis, and it actually gets the joint itself, inflaming the joint. So having a disrupted microbiome with loss of important species that supported joint health and the proliferation of fecal microbes that export inflammation to the joint and exaggerate or amplify insulin resistance is a big factor also in causing joint deterioration. Let's pause for a moment to hear about our sponsors, and when we come back, we'll talk about the solutions on how to prevent or reverse arthritis. The Defiant Health Podcast is sponsored by Paleo Valley, makers of delicious grass-fed beef sticks, healthy snack bars, and other products. We are very picky around here and insist that any product we consider has no junk ingredients like maltodextrin, carrageenan, carboxymethylcellulose, sucralose, and of course, no added sugars. And all Paleo Valley products contain no gluten nor grains. In fact, I find Paleo Valley products among the cleanest of any in their category, and they're truly delicious. One of the habits I urge everyone to get into is to include a fermented food product at least once, if not several times per day, in their lifestyles. Unlike nearly all other beef sticks available, the Paleo Valley grass-fed beef sticks are all naturally fermented, meaning they contain probiotic bacterial species. And now, Paleo Valley is expanding their Wild Pastures program that provides 100% grass-fed, grass-finished, pastured beef. and pastured chicken and pork, raised without herbicides or pesticides and raised in the USA. And they've just added wild-caught seafood caught from the waters of Bristol Bay, Alaska. They're now offering a 20% lifetime discount on every order for a limited time. I'll post the web address in the Defiant Health show notes. Shipping for Paleo Valley products is free for orders of $75 or more. For more information or to order, go to paleovalley.com, enter the coupon code DEFIANT, not case sensitive, for a 15% discount to Defiant Health listeners. The web address is also listed in the Defiant Health show notes that accompany this podcast. And be sure to take a look at their other products, such as their organic super greens, rich with phytonutrients, and their super food bars that come in dark chocolate chip, apple cinnamon, and lemon meringue. They're low carb, of course, with 8 grams net carbs per bar. The folks at Paleo Valley have lately been busy, recently adding some interesting new products, including pasture-raised, fermented pork steaks, chocolate-flavored grass-fed bone broth protein, grass-fed organ complex in capsule form, pumpkin spice superfood bars with grass-fed bone broth protein, and new essential electrolytes in powder form to add to the potassium and magnesium intake of your lifestyle, available in orange, lemon, and melon flavors. And for listeners to the Defiant Health podcast, you can apply your discount code for a 15% discount. The discount code can be found in the show notes. I'd like to also introduce you to Defiant Health's newest sponsor, Cutting Edge Cultures, who provides a variety of high-quality starter cultures for your fermenting projects. Including several servings of fermented foods in your daily routine is among the most important practices you can adopt to maintain or restore the health of your gastrointestinal microbiome. Cutting Edge Cultures makes it easy with starter cultures for culturing vegetables with their Culture Veggie Starter, yogurt with the Yogurt Plus Starter, and kefir with Easy Kefir Starter. They've also added LR Superfood Starter to cultivate one of my favorite microbes, Lactobacillus reuteri, and L-Gasseri Superfood Starter to grow Lactobacillus gasseri, both extremely important gut microbes lost by modern people. They also have a convenient prebiotic powder called Prebio Plus that makes it easy to add important prebiotic fibers to coffee, yogurt, or other foods. And you've got to try their Kefir Soda Starter that makes an effervescent soda-like drink filled with healthy probiotic species. Go to Cutting Edge Cultures' website to enter the discount code DEFIANT, not case sensitive, for a 15% discount for Defiant Health listeners. Web address and show notes. Using Cutting Edge Cultures not only allows you to pick and choose some of the microbes you ferment, but also saves time by cutting back on the amount of time required to ferment your foods. So how do you start this process of preventing or reversing arthritis? Start with diet, because diet accomplishes so much of what needs to happen to not have arthritis. The diet we follow is detailed fully in my Wheat Belly books, my undoctored books, and even in my Super Gut books. But it boils down to removing foods that raise blood glucose and thereby contribute to glycation of collagen that causes deterioration of cartilage. It's a diet that minimizes or reduces insulin resistance that causes the expansion of visceral fat and inflammation and allows higher blood glucose levels. It's a diet that reduces dramatically abdominal visceral fat that also drives insulin resistance and inflammation and higher levels of leptin. So the diet is a big part of your starting strategies. So the diet we follow is to remove all wheat, grains, and sugars. Those are the foods that raise blood glucose to very high levels, that yield gliadin-derived opioid peptides that are inflammatory and drive appetite. They increase appetite, mostly for junk foods. And it removes wheat germ agglutinin, that is a potent bowel toxin and causes intestinal inflammation and body-wide inflammation. We also never limit fat, never limit saturated fat, and never limit calories. We just eat real whole foods like meats, fish, poultry, vegetables, avocados, nuts, seeds. Of course, the full details of the diet are contained in my books, but it's pretty simple, really. Then we address deficiencies of common nutrients because of the way we conduct our lives. Not because of the diet, but because of the way modern lifestyles are conducted. So for instance, we supplement vitamin D because most of us don't get sufficient sun. We live in northern climates, or we wear clothing when we're outdoors, and we lose the capacity to activate vitamin D in the skin upon sun exposure as we age. So we supplement vitamin D. A typical dose would be 5,000 or 6,000 units per day in an oil-based gel cap for enhanced absorption. And we aim for a 25-hydroxy vitamin D blood level of 60 to 70 nanograms per milliliter. The level that I believe is ideal and has never been associated with toxicity. We add magnesium, preferably in the forms of magnesium glycinate, magnesium malate, magnesium chelate, and some others, and trying to get about 500 milligrams of the magnesium component. Not the total weight of the tablet or capsule, but the actual amount of magnesium being provided. That should be specified on the label. If it's not, don't buy that magnesium. And split that magnesium dose to at least two, if not three, different doses to minimize loose stools. And we do that to compensate for having to drink filtered water. If your city filters it, or if you filter it in your home, water filtration is very effective at removing all magnesium. So we're simply compensating for that need to filter water. We supplement omega-3 fatty acids because those are essential for a variety of reasons, including prevention of cognitive impairment, and it improves the intestinal barrier to those endotoxins from bacteria. Omega-3s are especially rich in brain tissue. But people don't want to eat brain anymore, right? So we turn to fish oil capsules. It'd be nice if we could eat all the fish we could, but we can't because of mercury toxicity. Shellfish provides cadmium toxicity. And so we turn to fish oil capsules, and we try to get a minimum of 3,000 milligrams of the EPA and DHA. Not 3,000 milligrams of fish oil, but 3,000 milligrams of the EPA and DHA per day or more, divided into two doses. Then we get iodine. We forgot. Most modern people have forgotten that iodine deficiency was a huge public health problem all throughout human history, and it causes hypothyroidism and other thyroid diseases. So get iodine. We aim for about 300 to 400, 500, that range, micrograms of iodine per day. Do not go higher than that. There is indeed iodine toxicity, and I've seen it happen many times. So you don't want iodine toxicity. You just want an ideal intake of iodine, which is higher than the RDA of 150 micrograms per day. So we're aiming for about twice that or three times that. Now put that all together, and you have a synergistic combination of nutrients that helps minimize insulin resistance and inflammation, the factors that drive deterioration of your cartilage. Now let's go even further by restoring the microbe lost from the gastrointestinal microbiome of most or almost all modern people, Lactobacillus reuteri. So recall that when we restore Lactobacillus reuteri, there's a boost in oxytocin that causes the cartilage cells, chondrocytes, to produce the components of cartilage. It helps rebuild cartilage. And Lactobacillus reuteri, by colonizing the upper GI tract and producing bacteriocins, natural antibiotics effective against the invading fecal microbes, reduces endotoxemia and thereby reduces insulin resistance and inflammation, including in your joints. And then lastly, let's get collagen and hyaluronic acid. Now, you can do that by making the carcass broth or stews that I mentioned earlier and eating the organs of animals. Unfortunately, most modern people don't want to do that anymore. So you can turn to supplements. You can buy collagen peptides or collagen hydrolysates in convenient powders. And we try to get anywhere from 10 to 20 grams per day if it's sourced from bovine, cow, porcine, pig, or chicken. If you find a marine source, it may be possible to use a lower dose. Well, that's not been well sorted out because we often can't tell exactly where the marine source was. Was it a cartilaginous fish? Was it a bony fish? Were the scales included? So there's some uncertainties in dosing, but it is possible that you can get by with a lesser dose. If you want to be safe, I'd still get 10 grams even of a marine source until we know with confidence where that marine collagen came from. In future, when we are able to identify the actual source, we may be able to reduce the dose to a fraction of that. And with hyaluronic acid, you can find it in convenient powders or capsule forms. If you get 100 milligrams per day, that's a very confident dose. Because if you had, let's say, 4 ounces of sheep brain or lamb brain or some other form of brain rich in hyaluronic acid, you get about 7 milligrams. And so 100 milligrams is a very confident dose. Now, the wonderful thing about all this is you combine all these strategies, a diet with wheat, grain, and sugars removed without limiting fats, replacing nutrients, restoring nutrients that are lacking in modern life, vitamin D, magnesium, omega-3 fatty acids, and iodine, restore Lactobacillus reuteri, thereby boost in oxytocin and reduce endotoxemia by its upper GI colonizing and bactericin-producing effects, and then adding collagen and hyaluronic acid. There is a wonderful and magnificent and substantial synergy among all these strategies, and you get dramatic reductions in abdominal visceral fat that drives arthritis, as well as insulin resistance and inflammation. So you have in your hands an extremely potent, it's a little complicated perhaps, but if you get each and every component right, you will get a 1 plus 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals 11 effect. In other words, this total is greater than the sum of the parts. Now, if you want more help, a little more assistance, a little more support in getting this program right, I invite you to read my books. Of course, the latest book is Super Gut. The diet is fully articulated in the Wheat Belly books and the Undoctored book. If you want support and conversation, then I invite you to join my drdavisinfinitehealth.com conversations. We have live video conversations. We have discussion forums, a very vigorous discussion forum with hundreds of thousands of posts. We have a private Facebook page, and I have my blog there with over 2,000 articles. So lots and lots of support if you think you need that. Now, if you've learned something from this episode of the Divine Health Podcast, I invite you to subscribe through your favorite podcast directory, post a review, tell your friends. We need to build this movement of self-empowerment and health. I think healthcare is actually getting worse, where it's becoming more predatory, more exploitative, and we want to protect ourselves against that by achieving magnificent health. If you are healthy and slender and don't have arthritis or diabetes or hypertension or heart disease, you are useless to the healthcare system because you cannot be squeezed as a source of revenue. So join the conversation. Thanks for listening.